Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. We're streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Joining us now, Teron Davenport for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport presented by Craneworks and Rentalworks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, I'm sure you've been bored this week. Not a whole lot to talk about, huh?
Not a lot to talk about. Just, you know, something that basically never happens. You know, a GM of a team with a winning record on top of their division getting fired. But, you know, it comes with the territory.
And that is exactly where I want to start. Titans are 7-5. They're going to win the division. They're going to make the playoffs. John Robinson has a winning record as GM of the Tennessee Titans, gets fired in the middle of the season. What do you think went down? Why did John Robinson get fired this week?
I think it was a collection of things. And it goes back to, and this is just some of the information that I got, it goes back to the obvious mistake there with 2020, drafting Isaiah Wilson. And then you have 2021, the situation with Caleb Farley, which, you know, that gets an incomplete grade. But there were a lot of injury questions, and lo and behold, what happens? He's on IR. In fact, he had a microdiscectomy today for his back and expects to be back next year. But you have those, and then the Dylan Raiden selection, and these guys charted as starters, and they lost their jobs to rookies, you know? So that was a disappointment. And then obviously, you know, some of the other things, you could even go back to the Vic Beasley signing. I know the building was split on that. You know, some wanted him, some didn't. And then you even fast forward to what happened on Sunday, and you see A.J. Brown go out and do what he did. It just, there was an overall disappointment in the direction of the roster within the organization. And look, John Robinson had, in essence, the final say, and you know, he was the guy that had to pay the price.
A couple things, TD, to your point. You know, the Caleb Farley pick, which was questionable from the minute that it happened. Isaiah Wilson pick. All of those things look like smudges on John Robinson's resume. But he got a five-year extension after those moves. So can we even consider those moves in a reason why the Titans would part ways with him now?
I think, like I said, you know, so you look at the extension. That was 10 months ago, mm-hmm. right? And there were two extra things that kind of slide into there that added disappointment. Well, three, if you look at the AJ thing. Now, I don't think whatsoever that AJ's performance made Miss Amy Adams Strong say, hey, you know what? I'm done with him. But I think it's a building of things. And then at the time when he signed that, Caleb Farley and Dylan Raiden, those were supposed to be the starters, right? A starting corner and a starting right tackle. That's what you were supposed to have. So things have changed since that extension that he and Mike Vrabel signed for 5 years.
Teron, I'd be curious for your opinion on something. You know, as a former beat reporter, when you are around a team as often as you are, and I was, even when you don't have a sense of, you know, impending news, you get a pretty good sense of when something might be happening, whether it's a trade, whether it's, you know, news like this. You can read the room, you know these guys, you know the coaches, you can tell maybe something might be a bit off. Did you ever get a sense in the lead up to this decision, like that feeling in your gut that says, something tells me something big is about to happen with this organization?
You know, that's not a feeling that I got, honestly. And it was interesting because, you know, a lot of it was downplayed, you know, the magnitude of AJ being, you know, a former Titan and how the split happened and going against him. That was all downplayed. So it really surprised me that this happened. I mean, this is a team like, After the Bengals game, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was like, hey, we're right where we want to be. You know, and Ryan Tannehill spoke about, hey, you know, being on top of the division and, you know, having division games down the stretch, but still taking it a week by week. So No, I didn't get that feeling at all. It really didn't occur to me that, John Robinson was possibly getting fired.
Before you came on, we were taking stock of the moves, the notable moves that John Robinson made as GM of the Titans, and we were thinking to ourselves, when was the last notable move that he made that worked out well for the Titans? As someone who knows a lot more about that than I do, off the top of your head, what was the last notable transaction that John Robinson made as GM of the Titans that paid all, paid dividends for the team?
Yeah, well, outside of, some draft, I think this draft class has been pretty solid. So you can look at Burks, you can look at Petit Ferrar, you can look at Chig Okonkwo. But I think, if you're just talking about moves, I mean, signing Denico Autry, folks, we're seeing the importance that Denico Autry has within this team. We're seeing it. And the fact that, a $7 million per year contract, 3 years, 21.5 million. That was an excellent signing, and that was a really good job of recognizing the guy. Because when Denico Autry used to play the Titans, well, he used to wreck shop. You hear me? And so they saw that and said, hey, you know what? This guy fits our style, our violent style, physical style. Let's bring him in. And he's been nothing but a godsend for them. And with him being out, you're seeing they have 3 sacks in the last 2 games. Guess who hasn't played the last two?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I do remember after the Denico Autry signing, I believe it was on ESPN.com, they called Denico Autry the Robin to Jeffrey Simmons' Batman that needed to be there so Jeffrey Simmons could be Batman. And to your point, TD, I think we're seeing that come to fruition. And to Amy Adams Strunk's reasoning for why this move is happening is that she was not very pleased with the direction of the franchise. And I think that is a fair criticism that some of the draft picks haven't hit, that some of the signings haven't come to fruition. Signing Julio Jones, that didn't really work out. You got Robert Woods, who's getting paid $10 million a year, and that really hasn't come to fruition. Robert Woods, it feels like, drops a ball almost every single game. So I understand. But why now? Why not just wait until the end of the season? It's not like John Robinson is going to make any big acquisition or any drafting from now until February.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And as far as Robert Woods, like I know a couple of those were viewed as drops, but they were PBUs. And you look at the Robert Woods thing, I mean, this guy over the last 5 years, he was like second or third in the lowest drop rate. So I don't know what has happened, but that's one of those ones where like, yeah, it's I'm not gonna hit John Robinson on that one. But I mean, as far as like now, like why now? That's the big question. I don't really see much to gain now, but I know you have in-house candidates in Monty Ossenfort and Ryan Cowden, who is now in charge of player personnel. So it gives you an opportunity to see how they will operate in the role. I mean, that's again, I'm just trying to find something, so it gives you that opportunity because those guys have both interviewed for, the Commanders job, the Panthers job in the past. So they're clearly in the mix of future GMs. So I think it gives you a chance to see Cowden up front. And then now, Monty Ossenfort goes from director of player personnel to VP, in essence, the second in command to Cowden. So you have that. Another thing to look at is the draft process is year round. I know there were times where, John Robinson or Ryan Cowden or even Monty Ossenfort, whoever, like they would fly to a game on Saturday and then catch a separate flight to wherever the Titans were playing on Sunday. You know what I mean? To be there for the game. So, I say all that to say it could give you an opportunity to get a better grasp on how the scouting process is going to work with a different without Robinson at the top. And he was very thoroughly involved in the scouting process. So I think that could be the case.
Coming up next, how much was this move motivated by one single day? We'll get into that with TD coming up next. Plus, we'll get your questions for TD later on in the hour. So get your calls, get your texts in, all your Titans questions for TD. We'll get to that later on this hour. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. And hey, this Sunday following the Titans game, tune in for the NFL postgame show with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, now with a huge inventory of in-stock vehicles to choose from. Superbook Yahoo Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Hey, start week 14 off right tonight with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and my official sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your TNF same-game parlay does not hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout. I'm going to say under everything for the Rams today. The Rams stink, especially on offense. And I'll go Josh Jacobs over rushing yards just because Josh Jacobs has been a bad boy. That's right. Build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play it, you can bet the NFL Thursday Night Football with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with the promo code JGM if you don't already have an account. If you do, then just lock it in on FanDuel and get ready to roll. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and older and present Tennessee. 3+ legs. Minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is not withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after. See max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What's the reason and what's the cause and what's the purpose of doing it now? I mean, I understand that, you know, you have to make decisions. But I can understand that this was a 3-13 team or a team that was, you know, just consistently losing. They had five seasons where they went to the playoffs, and you're letting your general manager go now when you're still in position to make a Super Bowl run. So I look at it as something happened Sunday night. And the reason why I say I believe something happened Sunday night, it might not happen on a plane, but I guarantee you, and I know I'm speculating a little bit, but I bet you when they went back to Metro Center, something happened in those meeting rooms where somebody got upset because you just don't, you know, let a guy go when they're winning. I don't understand.
There you go. That was Chris Sanders on the show yesterday. Teron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, do you buy into that line of thinking? Do you think there was some, to take words from Jared, some there? Do you think there was a little bit more going on behind the curtain beyond the draft picks and some of the failed signings that John Robinson had made? Is there more to the story that we don't understand?
You know, I thought possibly because, again, this is such an abnormal move and timing is very peculiar, but I dug. Everyone said it's football related. So, I mean, you could think it, but, you know, from what, and I'm not the only one that dug. I mean, there's multiple ones that you know, have reached out to different people, and no one's saying that there was anything extra, you know, curricular or anything like that. So it has to be football related, and it just surprises me that it got to this point.
Interesting. I mean, I'm surprised, too. I think a lot of people are surprised. Teron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. If it's simply football related, is it just have to do with A.J. Brown's performance on Sunday?
No, I think it goes back to, you know, as we talked about, some of the other ones. I mean, you got the Jadeveon Clowney signing. You got, as you mentioned, Julio Jones, that trade. I mean, that's a lot of money that's just kind of discarded into very few positive things, right? And then You're getting ready for a draft, and, you know, you got draft picks that you don't have because of some of these trades. The Dennis Daly ordeal, right? You know, I think that was a fifth-round pick that they dealt for him. You don't have that. So there's a collection of things, in my opinion.
If A.J. Brown had five catches for 32 yards, would John Robinson be the general manager of the Titans today?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think the AJ situation, I think that hit a tipping, like it was kind of like a tipping point where it's just like, all right, man, that's it. I think that could definitely be the case. So I would say yes, he would still be.
Teron, you are a veteran of Philadelphia. You know the reputation that Philadelphia sports fans have, both good and bad. Very passionate fan base. I know there was a video going around of some Eagles fans, some overzealous Eagles fans, perhaps hurling or gesturing obscenities towards the Titans owner suite during the game. Just take me back to the atmosphere in Philadelphia. you know, as the game was unraveling for the Titans, and just your sense of where this team appears to be, where you think this team appears to be headed based off of what you watched this past weekend.
Yeah, it just was one of those things that just spiraled, right? It's like that snowball that's on the hill in the cartoons. It just gets bigger and bigger, and that's what happened, honestly. They scored the first touchdown, right? A very excellent route by Devontae Smith. Did a good job of, you know, making McCreary think he was going to go outside by looking out there and leaning and cutting back to the post. Great play there. And then the Titans had a poor drive on offense, and they came back, and Treylon Burks had the touchdown. And what a catch, man.
Great catch.
He has plenty of heart and concentration and determination, and what a catch that he made there. So you have that. And then once he went out, it just seemed like the offense wasn't able to do anything. And then Chika Conquo came in and made a big play. They're there in a good scoring position, and Ty Downing touched on it. You know, you had third and short. You get a false start. Then you give up a sack. And next thing you know, what could possibly be a touchdown to tie it up makes it 14-10 because you had to do a 35-yard field goal. And then from there, it just started to deteriorate where Jalen Hurts was just picking the Titans secondary and their defense apart. And it just got worse and worse. And then A.J. Brown kicked in and did the crazy things that he's able to do. The late hands on that catch on Trey Avery, I mean, that was textbook. And it's funny because he said something also. He said that the visor that he has on, it keeps the DBs. Like, normally a DB, what they'll do in that type of situation, they'll look. And they see your eyes getting big because as a receiver, your eyes get big when the ball's coming. You're like, yeah, I'm about to catch this thing, right? And the visor that he has on kept Trey Avery from seeing his eyes, you know, and that's how he was able to throw. He knew the ball was coming. Avery didn't. He was able to throw his hands up at the last second and snap it out the air. So it just got worse and worse from that perspective. And then once they got a lead, those monsters on the D-line, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Hassan Reddick, Javon Hargrave, all Josh Sweat, those guys were able to pin their ears back and go after Tannehill, and it was a bad sight. And that's why Coach Vrabel had to save him, you know, by taking him out and getting Malik Willis in there.
How much do you think, you mentioned Treylon Burks, as you said, fabulous catch in traffic, unfortunately injured on the play and had to leave the game.
Dirty hit.
Yeah. How much do you think the... You know, because when Burks came out, the disparity between the quality of receiving core between Philadelphia and Tennessee was highlighted even more. How much do you think, other than just the A.J. Brown of it all, you know, having Treylon Burks out and the Titans having to basically, you know, have a makeshift receiving core for most of the game, how much do you think that played into, you know, the decision as well? Just seeing the disparity between the Eagles and Titans receiving corps in that situation?
Yeah, it was huge because with James Bradbury and Darius Slay is one of the top cover corners in the league, by the way. But with having those guys on the outside, right, and not having Burks, which, you know, we have Burks out there, you could put Robert Woods in the slot and you could do some things, you know what I mean? And that was one of the areas where I felt that they matched up well because Avanti Maddox, Philadelphia's nickel corner, was out. So there was a matchup there. But when you don't have Burks and now there's not much of a threat on the outside, I mean, you want to blitz and you could have the safety down 8 yards from the line of scrimmage as opposed to 12 because you're not concerned about your guys going against their guys. And I think that's a big problem. And that's where there's so much value in A.J. Brown. If you go back and, like, watch all 22 – you'll see the way teams lined their safeties up last year as opposed to this year, and they're a lot closer to the line of scrimmage, which makes the rushing game tougher.
Tron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. We will get to your calls, your texts, your questions for TD later on this hour. But before we do that, what does this move, the John Robinson firing, mean in the short term and in the long term for the Titans organization? We'll get into that coming up next with TD. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, Tron Davenport joins us now as he does every Thursday at this time for the TD Power Hour, breaking down the Titans' firing of John Robinson. Why did it happen? Why now? How did we get to this point? But after looking back, TD, I want to look forward, both in the short term and long term. But do you think the Titans are better off without John Robinson as GM?
Oh, that's a... Man, you guys asked a lot of good questions today.
Thanks, TD.
But, man...
Do you notice who's not here to ask the questions? Is the, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
That one, I'm going to say for now, I don't think they are right now. And my reason being is one of the things that always stood out to me is his ability to get players at the back end of the draft and undrafted free agents. You look at Tierre Tart. You look at David Long Jr. You look at Amani Hooker. You look at Jayon Brown, you know, a fifth-round pick. Even Kevin Byard in the third round, you know, getting this guy, and he's, you know, perennially the best safety in the league. Like, you look at those. I just think some of the things that he's able to do as far as unearthing, you know, guys from out of nowhere, I think that that's something that they're going to have to figure out how to continue to do. But the one area that just continues to be a crutch is the first round picks. And I mean, outside of what Simmons is going to do soon, none of the first round picks have signed a second contract. And we're talking about eight of them. So that's a bad thing.
Again, Teron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, I'm with you that at least for where it stands right now, I don't think the Titans are a better football team without John Robinson. I understand that he had, you know, first-round issues the past couple of years, or I understand that he made some bad signings, but no GM in the league is perfect. So I find it very strange that, you know, over the past couple of days, we've talked about this so much, and we've gotten so much insight from fans, calls and texters, and even on Twitter, that I don't see very many Titans fans that are upset that John Robinson is gone. I find that so odd.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I tell you what I liken it to. I liken it to a young man out and about, right? And you try to get a girl's number, and she's like, no, I'm not going to give you my number. And you walk away, and you're like, you know what? She wasn't pretty anyway. You know what I mean?
It's that I didn't need her anyway.
And so that's what I'm seeing now is a lot of the people who, you know, were pro John Robinson are like, because you want to, as a fan, you want to try to massage the situation and make it palatable for yourself. And so what you're seeing now is all the mention of the, you know, the Vic Beasleys, the Isaiah Wilsons, the Caleb Farleys, et cetera. You're seeing those things be mentioned, and you're not seeing them mention, you know, the Denico Autry signing, the David Long drafting, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown in the second round, Derrick Henry in the second round. You're not seeing that. So they're kind of like justifying it.
I have a hard time imagining you got turned down by many women asking for numbers back in your day, TD.
I said, notice I said a young man. I didn't say myself.
I know.
But I got my share in those.
You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons and just the obvious inability of the Titans in recent years to sign their top picks to second contracts. And I know Jeffrey Simmons, you know, has one of those negotiations coming up. If you're Simmons, I have to imagine you're licking your chops in this situation, because you can say to whomever is negotiating that contract, you can't let another first round pick leave with nothing exactly in return. So, I mean, how much do you think that will play into the negotiations? How hard do you think Simmons representatives are going to be hitting that particular idea as they negotiate with the Titans on a new deal?
Oh, rest assured, that's something that they're very aware of, and that's something that I know for a fact is going to be in those conversations. It's one of those things where it's like, now I know, like, man, I knew you needed me, but now you're starving for me now. So imagine taking over as the GM, whether it's Ryan Cowan, Monty Austin Fort, whoever it could be. Imagine taking over and allowing another one of your cornerstone players to leave. That would be major. So yeah, that's going to be heavy in those negotiations. And I mean, we'll see how it goes. I know there was a good relationship With Robinson. So how the torch is passed and how it carries on, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch.
Again, Tyron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. TD, looking ahead in the sooner future, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend, and for an organization that is known to block out the outside noise, get rid of any and all distractions, this is a pretty big distraction, pretty big bomb that was dropped in the middle of the week. Do you fear that there is, if any, element to the players carrying the John Robinson firing into the game on Sunday and it affecting the gameplay?
No, I don't think so. I'll say this, at least not a negative element. I think, Jeffrey Simmons said it best. He said that he has a relationship with Robinson. He said he called him and they talked, and he said Robinson told him just win the damn game, and that was what he was told. And he said that, there are going to be guys that have relationships, with him, but that shouldn't affect your play. Right. You still got to play. And he said he didn't say that. He said that won't affect the way he plays the game of football. So I think you look at that. And then even in talking to Kevin Byard, I asked him about it. And he said that, understands it's a business. He thanked Robinson for changing his family's life by selecting him in the draft, But he said at the end of the day, everybody has a job to do. And the understanding is they have to go out and win. So those are the approaches that these guys are taking. I don't think it's going to have a negative impact.
And I'm with you. I think this is kind of a team that very much so plays with a chip on its shoulder, and it plays right with something to prove. And this absolutely would be something to prove, something to play for. But looking at the Jags, what do you make of this team? 4-8 so far in the season. I mean, the Jags are just so not exciting, TD. What can I get excited about with this game?
You know what's crazy about this? So you look at Trevor Lawrence, he had the toe injury. I mean, no one would have thought it was a toe, given how his exit from the game went. But he hasn't practiced in 2 days. He didn't practice yesterday. He didn't practice today. Now, your starting quarterback not practicing 2 days is pretty significant. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And then, obviously, they have the walkthrough on Saturday. But what I was told was he's going to have, like, a special device to protect that toe because they're concerned about it getting stepped on. And, this is a bad week to be concerned about that because you got Jeffrey Simmons, a pocket collapser from the interior. But you look at that, you look at Chad Muma, the Wyoming linebacker, he started to get a lot more time. He's a pretty decent cover guy, but you look at that, there's matchup opportunities. Dontrell Hilliard, Chig Okonkwo against the linebacker. So I think when you look at Jacksonville, you're getting a team with Trevor Lawrence out there. It's a team that, they're in these games. I mean, they've lost, 6 games by less than, one score or less. So it's just a matter of some things bouncing the right way for them and things to be different. So I think when you watch them, Christian Kirk is having a solid year. Etienne is very explosive. But really, if they don't have Trevor Lawrence out there, cancel Christmas for them, at least this Sunday.
I was going to ask you about Etienne because he didn't face the Titans last year, because he was out right all season with the injury. What challenges does Etienne pose as a runner against the Titans this weekend?
Really what it is he's a solid pass catcher also, but as a runner, it's just his ability to hit top speed quickly, and they use him. They like to, get him the ball on like stretch type of looks and those type of things. That's where it is, man. Put foot in the ground and get up the field quickly. That's where he brings that explosiveness. So that's the issue. He has an angry rushing style also. He doesn't run with a lot of power, but I mean, he's a guy that if he gets a crease, like he's going to hit it and he's going to get going.
Looking at the injury report, TD today, Danico Autry did not practice. Trey Avery did not practice. CJ Board did not practice. Treylon Burks did not practice. No surprising concussion protocol. Christian Fulton out today. David Long out today. Nate Davis and Hassan Haskins both limited. But here's the kicker here. Jeffrey Simmons was limited in practice on Wednesday, did not practice today. Can we expect Jeffrey Simmons this weekend? Makes me a little bit nervous that he was limited and out today.
Well, I think you could still expect him. Mm-hmm. Look at last week. He didn't practice either day. And then he came out on Friday, had the ankle taped up, and he's running around and doing the things he had to do. So it's one of those things where they're just – you look at an ankle injury, especially like when you're 300-plus pounds, Look, big fella, get off the ankle.
It's good.
You know what
tear.
I mean? And that's the approach. Yeah. Yeah. Stay off the ankle. So that, in my opinion, is how they're taking it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for TD because we will get to those coming up next. Teron Davenport here for the TD Power Hour, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Stillman and Company, hey, tune in for the NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sunny's Patio Pub and Refuge located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman, former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show was brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Teron Davenport is with us for the TD Power Hour. Without further ado, the questions for TD. TD, the people have spoken. Belvis texts in, and says, I know that Vrabel and Keith Carter watch film on Dennis Daly. Why are they so stubborn not to give Dylan Raidens a shot at left tackle? Is he just that bad?
It seems like they feel Raidens is a guard. And that is, it's funny that, you know, the question about Daly came up. Because I talked to Daly a couple of days yesterday and, you know, asked him some of the things that need to happen. And he's a communication technique, yada, yada, yada. But I think, you know, when you look at it, there have been a couple plays that you know, he did well. But in my opinion, there's more bad than good. So that is an area where you might want to look at a change. LaRaven Clark is a guy that continues to be mentioned as an option. So I think right now they feel that Clark is a better option at left tackle than Raidens. And then also Paul Kaharsky asked Todd Downing about Daly. And Downing said that Daly has done enough to warrant still being heavily considered for the position. Now, what is enough? I don't know, because I would like to think that there's more to be desired there. But collectively, as an O-line, they've struggled.
Yeah, and that's my thing, is I understand the very fair criticisms about Dennis Daly. I understand very fair criticisms about Dylan Raidens. It's not just one weak spot on that offensive line. That offensive line is just small, you know, thin depth, and also just not very good.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Kind of sticking with the offensive line theme here, Chase texts in and asks TD, what do we do with Taylor Lewan next year?
Well, I think Taylor Lewan spoke for himself, right, on Kay Adams' show. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, he having two ACLs in the last 3 years, you know, he would find it hard to keep himself around also. So, obviously, they cut him. They saved the money. Lewan has spoken about possibly retiring. He doesn't want to play anywhere else, and I get it, you know, and I think it's time to move on. And obviously you can't go into next year with what you got at left tackle. So if Lewan retires and or released and retired, then you got to look elsewhere. I swear Andre Dillard from the Eagles is a guy that I would sign. I would definitely sign him. Not too expensive. You got high-end talent there, a first-round pick. So that's the direction I would go.
And, yeah, Taylor Lewan said on Up and Adams, Kay Adams' show, he said, you know, if I'm the Titans in January, February, I wouldn't expect to be on this football team. I'd expect to get cut within the next couple of months. And, look, the Titans can't continue to pay Taylor Lewan that much money. And I think with Taylor Lewan, like, his body is so banged up. I mean, it's just going to get to a point where he just can't stay on the field anymore. You can't be on this team anymore. But Canadian Titan texts in and asks TD, a big factor that has fans confused about the Robinson firing is the timing. And some people are speculating that the Titans realize the limitations of the roster and that they can't compete for a Super Bowl in 2022. Does a general manager have that much influence on a team at this point in the season that firing him is akin to giving up on the year?
I don't think, no. Any organization that has Mike Vrabel at or near the front, they're not quitting. This ain't happening, mm-hmm. You know, and especially why they are tops in the AFC South, you know. And granted, you know, that's kind of one of those by default type things, but it is what it is. That's where they play. They're going to host the playoff game. So I don't think there's any quitting. And the move itself, it's mind-boggling, but You know, sometimes these moves, it galvanizes a team, and who knows, that could happen.
And that's, I usually look at midseason firing, specifically with coaches, of that team kind of waving the white flag of, we're giving up on this year, we're going to continue a coaching search, we'll be back next year. This team is not giving up. This team is not waving the white flag. I mean, this team's making the playoffs. This team's winning the division.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. So, you know, I don't think that there's any quit in them in regards to that. I mean, even like Jeffrey Simmons said it, you know, he told me, he said, look, man, like, we're not packing our bags and going home. Like, we, as I mentioned earlier, are right where we want to be, and we got three division games left. We're good. And that's what he said.
Still got work to do. Another texture text in says, losing J-Rob hurts. He was a good general manager, but how are the Titans going to look in the near future? Derek isn't going to run forever. His production will drop off. Malik doesn't look like the future. Treylon Burks needs to play 20% more snaps. Defense is the only thing that is stable. What's the next chapter for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think the next chapter this offseason, I would invest in the offense. You have to get another receiver. This is a pretty solid receiver draft. You know, you got some guys that will be available in the area the Titans pick. I think a guy like Jordan Addison will work out really well here because of just his route running, his ability to get open. It's a lot like Calvin Ridley, like just a smooth, steady, not imposing type of player, but he's just going to be productive. So I think that, you know, adding to the offense, you got to get a left tackle. I mean, there's a lot that has to happen on offense, you know. So I think that's the direction that they go, and that's what you see. That's the next step in the offseason. You got to catch the offense up to the defense.
Offensive line, pass catchers, all of the above. Kenston Texan says, do you think that the fans' seemingly positive reaction to the J-Rob firing is misguided because the team is in the midst of a two-game losing streak?
Yeah, Kenston, that's Memphis's finest right there. that's my guy, man. Now he said, is the firing an overreaction to the two-game winning streak, losing streak?
Yes, that's what he asked.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a big part of it, the frustrating way that they lost, right? Not being able to run the football, mm-hmm. and you know that's the identity, and just being out physical in the game. And, you know, that's another part of what they look to do. So I would say, yes, that's a big part of the overreaction in Robinson being fired. But again, I think there were still things that were underlying, you know, and it's like when you're in a relationship with somebody, you have a lot of things that have happened, right? And it's just brewing under the surface. And then something else happens, you're like, you know what, that's it, I'm done. And I think that's kind of what we saw here with the two-game losing streak.
And I think, too, you know, a very bold move by John Robinson kind of blowing up in his face on Sunday and A.J. Brown bawling out on Sunday, it doesn't necessarily help the situation.
Not at all.
Jeff from Hendersonville texts in and asks, what's up with the small linemen? I've seen that Tennessee, the Vols, got a 6'7", 350-pound tackle, and we've got 265-pounders on our line.
Well, there's one. And to be clear, Aaron Brewer is in the 290s now. And I talked to him about his diet. He's doing a lot of stuff to, you know, stay in that weight. He did a lot to get to that weight and stay in that weight. But you have to look at what the Titans like to do. This is a type of offense where, you know, if they were a power team, right, and you're just blocking the man in front of you and you got to move that man in front of you, yeah, that 6'7", 353 is looking real good. But if you're a zone type of scheme where you have to get to a space and block that space and maintain that space, you need to be a little more athletic. And typically – a guy that's 6'7", 350 isn't athletic. But you know one that was about that size that was athletic? Isaiah Wilson. But athleticism isn't everything, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. Ron Texan says, can the Titans repair the damage done by John Robinson by the start of next season, or will it take a couple years to really be relevant to go make a run for the Super Bowl again? Because right now I don't think the Titans can even smell the Super Bowl with the personnel we have.
I think you add a couple playmakers, you know, and some help on the offensive line. I think they could still They could do something.
And also, let's not act like the Titans weren't the top seed in the AFC last year.
Well, you know, and I'm going to take it even a step further. Look, man, you know, this team, just after the Packers game, everybody was like, oh, wait a minute. They're the number two seed. Hey, they could play with any. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
Things have changed, you know, in a matter of a couple of days. And that's why you always say, and in anything that you do, you remain consistent, right? You don't get too high. You don't get too low. You just stay right there and just keep treading water and doing what you do.
And also, I mean, the texter uses the word damage. I don't think that's fair to say that John Robinson did damage to this football team. Did he whiff on some first-round picks? Yes. And I've criticized him heavily because of that. Did he make some bad signings? Yes. I've also done the same. I've criticized him heavily for that. I don't think that John Robinson leaves this team worse than he found it. I mean, this team was 3-13 when John Robinson was hired. Like, let's not act like this team has just crashed and burned under John Robinson.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't crashed and burned. It. Hey, look, they had a first-round pick, the number one pick when Robinson took over, right? He parlayed that into Jonnu Smith and Derrick Henry, Jack Conklin, and a few other players that were on the team. Now, obviously, Henry's the only guy remaining, but still, you know, this team is much different than it was when he took over. They haven't had a losing season. They're at a point now, think about this. The Titans are at a point now where they could be 7-5 on top of the division and fire a high-ranking official. This team is very different than it was when Robinson took over.
That's a privilege, truly. Last one for you, kind of a doozy from Joey.
Uh-oh.
Ask TD what he thinks about the Titans asking Peyton Manning to be the next GM.
They made a song about it. Hell to the no, no, no.
Fair point.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen. I do not think that's going to happen. Well, TD, we appreciate you. Who's on Talking with TD this week?
Yeah, so we got Mike DiRocco, ESPN NFL Nation Jaguars reporter. Really good rundown on Trevor Lawrence, the offense and everything. So check that out. Even, you know, the difference that they have in Doug Peterson as opposed to Urban Meyer. So good stuff there. Chris Sanders and I, we on Run TMC, we got into the John Robinson ordeal. And, there's a lot of J-Rob talk, rightfully so. So that's what you got this week.
Awesome. Appreciate you, TD. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you. Take care.
All right, you too, TD. Teron Davenport joining us for the TD Power Hour, as he does every Thursday. Appreciate him. But coming up next, Bob Shoup will join us in studio. What does he make of the John Robinson firing, as somebody who has been in those same shoes not too long ago? Bob Shoup will join us. It's Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.